council members must have been paying off some sort of private deal that was never made public. That would be the only thing that would explain it.
Well, aren't these rather serious charges? I mean, do you have any actual indication that that has happened? I don't. I guess what strikes me is that here are all these concerns raised by speakers. Of course, I'm speaking naively. I gave my opinion in the speech you heard, which is that they aren't going to listen to anything anybody says, that it's a done deal to start with. And what people should really be doing is gathering signatures to recall these suckers real fast rather than wasting their time at the council meeting. But the concern was raised, and a number of questions were raised, and you say that question was never answered?
Not adequately, certainly. What possible benefit it would be for the city to pay for any legal challenges to the agreement that had been struck, this agreement with the developers, or that they would lock in this zoning no matter what had happened with the initiative. I'm not even sure that that was legal, even though that was argued that that was correct.
Well, I understand, actually, this issue was further discussed in a debate between Chris Jennings, the last speaker, and council member Scott Kennedy on KUSP, or perhaps it was KSCO, one of those stations last week. And somebody said that Kennedy pulled the mic away from Chris Jennings. What was that about? Did you hear anything about that?
Yeah, I heard that rumor, too, but I didn't hear the show.
Yeah, hopefully we actually we're trying to get Chris on the air. And Scott Kennedy, if you're listening and you want to step out of your silence and your refusal to make public statements on Free Radio Santa Cruz, please, you're invited to give us a call here at 423, or give me a call at 423-HUFF. That's the line of Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, and explain to us just what the hell was going on there. You know, why should the city protect the developers in this way? I mean, you know, Santa Cruz wants to know, Scott. Let's get down. We know you only have about 8 months left in your term, but hey, we need to know.
You know, these council members argued strongly that the reason that they had to sell this property had to do with the basic mechanics, the work that the council has to do of balancing the budget and paying for all the things that cities have to pay for. And that was the reason that they had to sell the property at Pelton Street, or so we were told. However, we know that the city got $2.6 million from that sale. But anyone with a trusty dusty calculator can figure out what the developer will make after he's developed the 15 lots and put luxury homes. Some of them are estimated to sell at $650,000. These 15 luxury homes, once sold, will net the developer $9 million. It'll cost him, what it'll work out to is he'll make a $2.2 million profit, and well, the city will have netted $2.6 million. Now, there was no good reason why the city couldn't have developed that property itself.
Except that they need to sell it fast in order to stop the initiative folks from getting the property back for the Homeless Garden Project.
Well, that makes no sense. That $2.6 million isn't going into the private pockets of any council members.
Well, you know, it might be another example of the kind of power that council members want to show to their friends in the development industry. I mean, if they can deliver the goods, then their credibility is increased in future projects. So, I mean, I can only speculate. My own area of expertise is not in this kind of in this area. I wish it were, and I hope we can get a guest on the air who knows more about this. You did a lot of good work on this tape, but we don't really have time to play the rest of it. Do you want to summarize the highlights of what we're missing, how the debate went, and what pungent points were made, if any?
Well, you did hear earlier Scott Kennedy saying that he had accepted campaign contributions from the real estate agent who would be, of course, making a nice pretty penny.
And I noticed Kennedy did not disqualify himself in this particular situation.
Sad but true. Mike Rodkin, who I gather you will be facing shortly.
Yes, that's right. A quick commercial plug. Come to the Rodkin-Norris debate, Kresge Hall, February 23rd, 8 p.m. That's next Monday. It's more fun than mud wrestling. It's more exciting than knitting. Come up and watch me and Rodkin debate the sleeping band.
Yeah, the Rascals are hosting that at Kresge Town Hall, February 23rd, 8 p.m., and it's a free event for all of us cheapos, myself included. Should be a good show. You were talking about you want to cut through the chase. Of course, the vote came out, as you predicted, 5-2. Catherine Byers and Celia Scott were the two dissenting votes.
They were the two votes that upheld the principles on which at least six of those people were elected by the SCAN, Santa Cruz Action Network Progressive Community.
This was a Rodkin Kennedy show, though.
Four of them sold out.
They were the ones who were really pushing it, in my view.
Well, I know that Rodkin kept saying that, gosh, you know, all these people who want us not to sell this property aren't telling us where we're going to get all the money we need for all those wonderful social service programs that make Santa Cruz such a fine city for homeless people, although I guess homeless garden projects aren't a part of that process anymore.
Then they also said how many wonderful contributions that they had both made to the Homeless Garden Project in the past. However, they did sort of pull the plug and cut the heart out of the Homeless Garden Project. And then the Sentinel mysteriously reported that the Homeless Garden Project had moved to a new, bigger site, which was completely false. The Homeless Garden Project had three sites, and now it has two. One is a very tiny garden for the Women's Organic Flower Enterprise down on Washington Street, and then there's also another site out on Schaefer Road, out near Natural Bridges State Park. That is the site where all the equipment and everything connected with the Homeless Garden Project on the Pelton Street site had to be moved off to. But there's a problem there. They're not allowed, because of the Coastal Commission regulations, they can't set up any greenhouses there, so they're limited in what kind of functioning they can. There may be some slight ability to expand the garden a little bit there, but it can't in any way be considered a new or bigger site or to be any kind of improvement. This is creating a semi-homelessness for the Homeless Garden Project, and no real clear indication that we're going to get the Homeless Garden Project's going to get a new site in the Poganip, although that's been talked about much.
Perhaps like the fabled campground in the Poganip, which all of us have been hoping about for two decades, and which people like our very own mayor, Celia Scott, I don't know if she was dangling it. Actually, she was strangling the idea when we attempted to look for a campground to replace the one closed by Kennedy and Rodkin in 1995, throwing 200 to 300 homeless people out into the bushes, and which now has no longer been replaced, which was never replaced, still hasn't been replaced. And I guess the only other campground, the small pay campground called Bob's Pine Grove Campground, has been closed down completely, and people have been moved out of there. So there is no legal campground at all in the city, even for people who are willing to and able to pay. But getting back to the discussion of Pelton Street, I note that Rodkin, who made this claim that we need all this money and all you complainers and petitioners and people who are trying to use the will of the voters to flout the will of the city council to give this property over to the developers lickety-split, aren't telling us where this other money is going to come from. I think Catherine Byers had a response to that, right?
She did indeed, Robert. Catherine Byers, she says, when I got on the council in 1989, we just had a small reserve budget, and she compared it to the amount a person would have in their checking account so that they wouldn't bounce their checks. And she said that they were advised that for a responsible city would put aside a fund and get an actual savings account going so that the city could keep better control of its finances. She says, well, now we had no savings account then, but now we have $4 to $7 million in this savings account. So that really kind of blew the wind out of the sails of Mike Rodkin.
I don't think that Mike ever came up with any of the specific needs that would require such immediate divestment of this property, other than their iron determination to do it over the will of 15% of the voters' determination to put it on the ballot, and to do it in such a way that any initiative would be thwarted. Is that actually the case? Will an initiative be thwarted by what the city council has done or not?
Barrasone, the city attorney, John Barrasone, said that the effect of the initiative at this point, since the city has gone ahead and signed this agreement with the developers, would be only to affect that final lot. There are 16 lots, and 15 would go to the luxury homes, and one would go to a tiny park with a little playground for children. But if the initiative were to pass, it would make it so that they couldn't have a little playground for the children. It would force them into using urban agriculture on that one lot, and that would be the effect of the initiative if it were to pass.
It sounds to me like they are kind of throwing the kids up front as a kind of a screening device as they move forward with the luxury apartments, or am I just a cynic?
You caught that drift, huh? It was a pretty horror show. The really outrageous thing about this is that there's been such a strong show on the part of the constituency, the exact same people that put these city council members in office, that they feel that we own this, or we did up until a week ago, own this Pelton Street property, and the people in the city of Santa Cruz should decide what the best use of that property
is. I'm sorry, five votes say no way.
I'm not entirely sure that Barisoni was giving the proper advice, though, on that, whether an initiative could affect that. Especially since the initiative had been filed 4 days before escrow. That could possibly wind up in the courts.
Well, I'm hoping that if it doesn't wind up in the courts, you will find a petition coming to your local household or your local park bench requesting that you, as a registered voter, and I remind you, if you're homeless, you can still register to vote here in Santa Cruz if you live here, if this is where your residence is, regardless of whether you have a home or not, and that a recall begins against Rotkin, against Matthews, against the individuals who are the key, and Kennedy actually doesn't need a recall because he's out in November. I don't know what to do with Kennedy, but certainly sending a message to the council by recalling the individuals who have to go till 2000, I think, is really a good idea. But Becky, now...
That would be the shortest route. I mean, if there's no course through the courts... regarding this, if that would be, I mean, these people put together 5,300 signatures pretty darn quick, and I think that initiative was written pretty darn quick, too. Speaking as someone who was part of writing an initiative and how difficult and time-consuming that is, I think that the Friends of the Pelton Street property wrote that initiative in a very short period of time and gathered those signatures very rapidly, indicating the kind of support that the Homeless Garden Project and the Pelton Street neighborhood has for the garden at the Pelton Street site.
Well, now that we have you here, because I know you have a number of hats, you're a journalist, you also have a show on television, Club Cruise, and you're also one of the board of directors of the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. Ho, ho, ho.
Our little joke.
Yes. Well, you know, I've always had some problems with the Citizens Committee for the Homeless because of its tendency to try to use its property with funding garnered on the backs of the homeless, using big homeless advertisements stamped on the back of each homeless person to, you know, please support the CCH. And then, of course, they provide no accommodations for folks, close off their own property with a fence for the last 2 years when it could have been and has been a homeless campground. But I understand at that campground there are trailers sprouting up like mushrooms, large social service control type mushrooms, in terms of the Community House Project, a $2 million boondoggle for 40 people. That's going to be a closely regulated halfway house kind of scene where what's been happening with that Community House Project?
Trailers for sale or rent. Couldn't resist. Community House. Now, okay, this is my take, and I've been on this board and watching the Community House, the starting date be moved up month after month, year after year, as funding has not come together. But thanks to the sound effects today,
yeah,
here, the city council came in with $550,000 of support. I think that pretty well.
Wait a minute, $550,000, and this is the same city council that is so concerned that it has to sell off a homeless garden project.
The council giveth and the council taketh
away.
So,
yeah.
uh-huh. That pretty much, well, you know, of course, you know.
The same council that provided $9 million for a new police station? Is that the same council we're talking about?
Yeah, I think so. Wasn't there some of that Pelton Street garden money for the homeless was going to go to help build that police station? Had you heard anything about that?
I'd like to tell you, but I'm afraid our time is drawing to a close because coming out of the rain and wind, the vicious Uncle Dennis has arrived and is shortly to supplant us with his foolish environmental twaddle, which I suggest all of you ignore thoroughly and simply demand an extension and an expansion of Bathrob Spears' broadsides.
Well, I'm not going to argue with this guy.
Civil Rights for the Poor, the show that really should be taking up this spot. However, you know, nobody listens to me, the city council.
Nice try, Robert.
Yes.
They did exactly what you said.
No,
they voted 5-2.
They followed
just
my directive,
like
yes, or my prediction. Well, Dennis, maybe you can tell the gang here what's likely to be coming up, and then we'll give you a chance to shuffle around records and tapes and such. But give us a little taste of what kind of sugar you're going to put before the audience.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about what's not happening at Headwaters, and we're going to talk about cows and roads and trees, and a little bit about President Clinton.
Oh, our Führer. All right. Well, you know, I think at last we have a strong, erect leader to move us into the, need I say more? I probably need to say less. So I'm going to start...
Well, you're perfectly safe in America unless you're a virgin or an Iraqi.
Yes, I won't make any jokes about towel heads and so forth. we were going to talk about numerous things, and next time on Bathrob Spears Broadsides, which will be coming up very soon, Sunday at 11 o'clock, and it'll be a longer show, 2.5 hours, we're going to run by the issues around the big issue. The big issue, for those of you who don't know, is a London conglomerate sold by homeless people that's supposed to be it's a newspaper sold by a London conglomerate, which... is coming to the United States and has caused a lot of concern among small homeless newspapers that are afraid that the big issue is going to move into the scene and destroy local homeless papers, not to mention dumb down journalism considerably, as, for example, other weeklies have done.
Do you think that could happen?
Unfortunately, I had a very meeting today with the board that was entrusted to stop it, and they don't seem too inclined. That's the North American Street Newspaper Association. You're going to hear more about that. And you're going to hear about anti-homeless laws in Ojai, California, Prescott, Arizona's plan to register homeless people with photo IDs, those of them who want any kind of social services whatsoever. We're going to be covering, that and the San Francisco vehicular residential folks who are trying to get permission and some kind of accommodation to be able to park their vehicles. And you're moving in on my mic here. What is it you want, Becky Johnson?
Well, you did tell them what's about coming up on Club Cruise, of course.
Actually, I failed to mention that. I don't think it has too much to do with homeless people, but since you're here, why don't you let us know?
We occasionally have something to do with homeless people, but on Club Cruise on Channel 71 Community Television on Saturday at 9:30 will be a show featuring Hemp for Industry with Jeffrey Stonehill and former free radio broadcaster Bob LaMonica.
And I think we're also going to, along those lines, those are eloquent people, particularly Stonehill. I really like his style. Bob is good, too, but Stonehill's more the poet, and I like that poetic exaltation. We're also going to be hoping to get Catnip Kate Wells, attorney for the Cannabis Club, on a future show to give us the rundown on how the government's trying to run over all those vicious cannabis users, those dangerous pothead AIDS patients that need to be brought to heel.
And don't forget, Monday, February 23rd, 8 p.m., Kresge Town Hall, Rotkin versus Norse.
I'd like to forget that, but I'm...
Bring your tar, bring your feathers, it should be fun.
Bring your homeless vegetables to throw at the man who defeated the homeless garden project. We're going to go out on... I think we've got Peggy Seeger here. Yes, yet another song by Peggy Seeger and Ewan McCall. I want to thank you all for being with us on Bathrob Spears Broadsides. Please stay tuned for Uncle Dennis and the view from the fields and the trees and the sky, the open view. And come back again at 11 o'clock on Sunday and rejoin us here for Bathrob Spears Broadsides. Thank you.
had just begun. I was bound to love you, my very soul was one. But now the bonds are changing, your childhood's nearly gone. Soon you will go, my son. I fed your hunger, I suffered all your pain. When you smiled, I'd answer, that made you smile again. Are we becoming strangers that once did breathe as one? Who are you now, my son? You wake in the morning, but you're dreaming all the day. At school, you sit and gaze at things so far away. Where older hopes have faded, yours have just begun. What do you dream? Amazement in your eyes, this world we've left you, a junk heap in disguise. When you watch us unbelieving, we older, wiser ones, what do you see, my son? You ask a question, you wait for my reply, but the world's a change, sometimes you know I.